the Christmas theme all month. Message title is Season for Good News. How many of you here go for a little good news? Little good news. Dave, those earmuffs working for you over there? You can hear everything that's said? That's awesome. Thank you, Bill. Turn with me tonight in your Bibles to the book of Titus. New Testament book of Titus. That'd be in your Bibles. Titus, in your Bibles. Where's your Bible, Destiny? Oh, you weren't even coming tonight. Your mom surprised you. All right, I'm going to let you off the hook this time. Just this time. You're going to owe me 20 push-ups. Not really. 20 hugs. All right. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. If you're there, stand to your feet. We'll read God's word together. What if it wasn't on the board? Yeah. See, you have to have your Bible so you know whether I'm telling you the truth. Because I could have them put anything on that board. Truthfully. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11, reading all the way through to verse 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous. Do you hear me? Zealous. People with ambition, people with drive, zealous for good works. Lord, would you let this message come across, Lord, in a way that will challenge us and bring hope and encouragement to us tonight, Lord, as we look into this Christmas message, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that your people would be challenged by your word tonight, God. And I thank you for it and give you praise and glory for it, Lord. Let us leave here tonight transformed by your word, challenged by your word, encouraged by your word. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can turn to somebody, slap them a high five, grab a chair. What? A lot of popcorn for a little feller. He tried to get me to eat it. Yeah. Christmas I'm done. I'll see how it is. That's how you do it right there, Mike. You just get up and walk over there. Sit down. Christmas is a season flooded with news. As we've just heard, some of the news can be bad news. It's flooded with news. How many of your mailboxes have been kind of inundated with Christmas ads and Christmas shopping things and those kinds of things. So we have seasonal ads. There are political stories in the news. There are weather reports. There are community events flooded with news. But here in this passage, I believe Paul is reminding us that there's one piece of news that outweighs everything else. And that is this: for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So in a world filled with bad news, Paul in Titus chapter 2 here gives us good news in three parts. Grace has appeared, grace teaches, and grace leads us to wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This gospel, the gospel is, this really, in these four verses, is really the gospel message. It is, in fact, the good news. You want good news? Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Here's good news. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's good news. God's grace had to bring salvation to lost mankind. This salvation wasn't discovered by sinners. It appeared to them through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came as a baby. God sent His Son. God sent His grace, sent His Son to redeem those in bondage of sin. This salvation is for all men who will receive it. You have to receive it just because it's there. If you don't receive it, it's not doing you any good. You've got to receive it. You've got to take ownership of it. You've got to take it in, if you will. There's a universal need, and there's a God that has provided a universal remedy for all who will believe. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 says, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He came as a baby in a manger. That's what Christmas is all about. The reality of a Savior coming in the form of a baby in a manger. We talked about it this morning. He was an unlikely king. He came to an unlikely place. He was born in an unlikely atmosphere. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in royalty. He wasn't born in a city of prestige. He was born in a manger. The smell, the aroma. I don't know if you've been in hospitals before, but most hospitals smell kind of starchy. Clean looking. Clean smelling. I don't think the stable smelled like that. I think the stable had an aroma to it that many of us would find offensive. I personally, I'm not trying to be weird, but I don't find it offensive. I love the smell of a barn. I just do. That's a whole nother story that we don't have time for. But it is the truth. I love the smell of cows and horses. Smells like money. Going out. Mostly. God loves the whole world. The good news has with it a universal scope. It is not directed only to people of one race, of one sex, or of one national background. God loves the whole world. He declared it in John chapter 3. He loves the whole world. In fact, He loves the whole world so much that He sent His only Son to save sinners. No one is outside of God's mercy or beyond the reach of his offer of salvation. It goes to the whole world. Titus 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, that's about the third or fourth time I've read that verse to you tonight, because I want you to understand it. I want you to hear it. The world would say you've been too bad, but God's grace says, no, you haven't. This word appeared to all men, appeared. It comes from the same root word that is used in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, where it says to give light to those who sit in darkness. Christ's coming was God's light that broke into the darkness of the world. Remember in Genesis, where the Bible says the world was dark and it was without void or form. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 says, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I've said this before. I think it kind of fits here again tonight, but the really smart people, those PhD people that I was talking about, the piled higher and deeper guys, they say that there really is no darkness. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is a word that we came up with. There really is no darkness. Hey, I'll do the preaching, Pilgrim. You believe that? Man, I was going to build up to that. I mean, I was going to work it. No. Just threw it out there. It really is just it is the absence of light. It doesn't matter how dim the light is. Light, every time, light will show up in the darkness. Every time, no matter what, light will always be seen. I don't care how tiny it is, light will always be seen. Why? Because light always dispels darkness. That's why Jesus came as the light of the world, to dispel the darkness of this age. Grace brings salvation. The babe in the manger did not come to be admired. Think about that. He didn't come to be admired. He came to save. He came with a mission. He came with a purpose. He came with a plan that came through the lordship of Almighty God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Notice it didn't say he'll save all people from their sins. He died for all people. His purpose and his plan was for all people, but not all people will choose to accept him. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel declared to Joseph and to Mary, that Mary's child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that he would be a son. Can you imagine Mary trying to explain to people, how is it you're with child? And she could legitimately say, I've never been with a man. And they would certainly think that she's completely off her rocker when she said, I've conceived of the Holy Ghost. Right. I don't know what you're putting in your Fruit Loops, but your Cap'n Crunch is a little over the edge. No, really. Really, an angel came to me at night and declared to me that I had found favor with God, and that I was going to conceive by the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a child, a baby, a boy, Savior of the world. Right. Bring in the paramedics because she's out of her mind. But she stayed the course. And an angel came and he talked to Joseph because Joseph had in mind to put her away privately. And the angel came and said, "Listen, Joseph, I want to tell you something. I know it's hard to believe, but your soon-to-be wife is with child, yes, and she hadn't been horsing around. She is with child of the Holy Ghost, and you are going to be the father, the dad, to the King of Kings and the Savior of the..." Can you imagine the responsibility? Wow. It reveals an important truth about Jesus. He's both God and man. He's both God and man. The infinite, unlimited God took on the limitations of humanity. He did it so that he could live and die for the salvation of all who would believe in him. Do you know that the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin? Somebody has to die. This is not a seasonal kind of grace. This isn't a seasonal grace. This is a 365-day-a-year, 12 months out of the year, 52 weeks out of the year. This is an everyday, 24/7 kind of grace that God has brought to his people. Something else that is super important is that grace appeared to all men. All men. When it says all men. So whether you believe in Jesus or not is irrelevant. Grace appeared to you. What you do with that grace is on you. Something else. There's no favoritism. There's not just a select few. Grace has been offered to every sinner, every person of every social class, from every background. John 12 and 32. "And I," it says, "and I," Jesus talking, "if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Jesus, that Jesus would draw everyone to himself doesn't mean that everybody's going to ultimately be saved. We've established that. Jesus already made it clear that some wouldn't. You can read about it in chapter 5, starting in verse 28 and 29. Rather, Jesus was saying that his offer of salvation extends to all people, not just to the Jews. Jesus' incredible love expressed in his death for all people. He didn't die just for the select. He didn't just die for the children of Israel. He didn't just die for the good guys. He died for the bad guys. His love will draw and unify all who believe so that sin, evil, and death will be powerless in your life. Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever. So to call on the Lord is to ask the Lord to come to you and to be real to you. And to those who call on Jesus as their Lord and want him to be their Lord and Savior, if Christ appeared for all men, then Christ has appeared for you. Because you're all men. Remember, it's a non-gender specific term. It's talking about everybody. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 teaches us that denying ungodly ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Paul here is bringing out two aspects of Christian living that must be stressed today. We should live in this evil world while we look forward to help. You know, the Bible says that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Isn't that amazing? We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're to be sojourners like pilgrims. Both aspects of living and looking forward are essential for Christian sanity in this present world. We have a hope beyond what we see. That's what ought to keep us anchored, right? This living is made bearable because we live for God. We seek to build His kingdom right here in a little no-name place like Myrtle Creek, Oregon, with a bunch of no-name people like you and I. Our job is to make Jesus famous and to build His kingdom with whatever gifts that He has given us. And this is the very kingdom to which we're looking forward to, the kingdom of heaven, a place where sin will not reign. It will not be allowed. As we live and look forward, we anticipate three great benefits of Christ's return. Number one, Christ's personal presence, to be with the Lord forever. We look forward to being with Him. Number two, redemption from our sinful nature. We long for the end of the battle with sin and perfection, and our perfection in Christ. The battle will be over when we step into His realm. Amen? Restoration of creation. We anticipate the complete rule of grace when the image of God will be fully realized in people, when the created order will be restored. Man, you ever spend any time just thinking about what that's going to be like? Woo! Critters running everywhere. Man. Yeah, I could just let my mind wander. But see, His grace works in this present age. And right now, in the world in we live in, grace is not nostalgic. Grace is active. Grace is looking. Grace is working on your behalf and mine. And in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not talking about wishful thinking. We've gone beyond that. This is a confident expectation. Do you have confident expectation? John 14:3, Jesus said, I will come again. He didn't say I might. He didn't say maybe. He said, I will come again. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. Christ freeing us from sin opens the way for Him to cleanse us. He freed us from sin by purchasing our release from the captivity of sin with a ransom. His life. He gave His life. He shed His blood to redeem and ransom us. So we're not only free from the sentence of death for our sin, but we're also purified from sin's influence as we grow in Christ. The greatest Christmas gift was not placed under a tree. It was hung on a tree, on a cross. The Bible says we've been redeemed from every lawless deed, not just some sins, every sin. Not just the minor sins, every deed. And it goes on to say, purified and set apart. We weren't redeemed only from something, but for something. You weren't just saved from your sins. You were saved for a purpose. God has a plan for your life. You can come, Kathy, to the piano. Grace doesn't leave you where it found you. Grace changes you. Grace cleanses you. And whether you want to hear it or not, grace sends you. Grace sends you. So here is the good news of the season. Paul is telling us that Christmas is not simply a season or a tradition or a holiday. It's not even just a story. Christmas is the announcement that God's grace has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this in closing. Has grace appeared around you? Or has grace appeared in you? There's a difference. You can have Christmas without Christ. But you can't have peace, salvation, or hope without Him. And without Him, all we have is a holiday. Without Him, all we have is a holiday. Pretty trees, pretty lights, pretty presents under the tree. No salvation, no saving grace. Just a holiday. Just another reason to get together. But I pray that this Christmas, we talk about the good news of Christmas. Why a baby came in a manger. Why did He give the good news first to a bunch of lawless shepherds? Because He wanted them to know that they were important to Him. Amen. Let's determine tonight, this Christmas is going to be different than all the other Christmases. Our focus is going to be on the good news of Jesus Christ and what He's done for each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for tonight. And I thank You for Your word. Thank You for a little teenage girl that received the news that she was going to conceive and give birth to the Savior of the world. And thank You for Joseph, who didn't give up. He stayed the course. Lord, I thank You for the birth of a baby that grew to be a man, that died to redeem a bunch like us, that He would use us for His glory and for His honor. Lord, that our job, our goal, our life was to make Him famous. To tell everybody we can about what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your week. God bless you. God go with you.